This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back, folks. Well, I'm sure you can hear the buzz. Folks are now just rolling in. 1,200. It's a sellout today. This is huge. A 2025 annual luncheon of Greater New Orleans Inc. In the zone is kind of the mantra for today. And we are joined by Jay Monroe, Executive Chairman of the Board of Directors of Global Star, as well as Barbie Ponder, General Counsel and Vice President of Regulatory Affairs for Global Star as well. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very
much. Thank you.
First, let me say congratulations on your most recent announcement, expansion on the North Shore. Very exciting to hear about that. Talk to us a little bit about that and tell us about what it is exactly that Global Star does.
Global Star is a global low Earth orbit satellite system, and it is operated out of the North Shore. And recently, we increased the size of that facility in order to recognize the expansion of our constellation and the plans for future constellations, which are all upcoming. And we had a great celebration, as you might imagine. We had the head of the FCC there. We had leader Steve Scalise there, and a ton of luminaries. And it was a show to see. We opened this thing. It's as big as this space that we're in right now, with screens everywhere. And you can see how we operate the satellites, how we operate the ground infrastructure on a global basis. So it's a fascinating, fascinating new facility. I encourage everybody to go out and see it.
When you talk about this in the context of constellations, this is like Star Wars to me, right?
Yeah.
But basically what y'all are doing is you're running satellite phones, data sets across these low Earth orbit satellite systems that are located completely around the globe, right?
That's correct.
And this is right out of St. Tammany.
Yeah. And each time we launch, I'll point out that the launch vehicle has Covington, Colorado. Covington, Louisiana, on top of the rockets.
Right.
So yeah, we do. We operate it out of there. It's a fascinating business. We've got dozens and dozens of satellites up there, and many more dozen planned. They operate at 14 kilometers above the Earth. And, you know, they provide those services that you just described, and emergency services that go through a whole series of devices, including iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gone from hundreds of thousands of customers to hundreds of millions of customers, growing probably at 100 million customers a year. So it's a fabulous check mark on the North Shore.
It's amazing, because I was reading that you can have, like, I forgot the number, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of concurrent users on the system at one time, and kind of like a ground cellular system. If you reach the end of the reach of one satellite, it automatically hands off to the next satellite, you know, seamlessly.
Right.
It's
right.
It's
because these satellites are buzzing by. They're high, but they're buzzing by at 17,000
miles an hour.
Yeah.
So we've been doing this a while. Yeah. This is not new to us. We just celebrated our 30th licensing anniversary. It was in 1995 that the FCC granted our initial license to launch and orbit a mobile satellite services system. And we got the initial system launched in 2000, so we've been providing mobile satellite services for over 25 years. We have a global footprint. We own and operate the constellation of satellites along with ground infrastructure. Currently 28 ground stations in 18 countries. And when it's all said and done, we should be operating 80 satellites with 35 ground stations in 25 countries around the world, and providing connectivity when nothing else works to literally hundreds of millions of people. All from a satellite operation control center that we just cut the ribbon on Monday in Covington, Louisiana.
Is there the potential for that system or this type of system to be actually more reliable than systems planted in the ground?
I think the way to conceptualize it is that this works everywhere the ground system does not work. And then when the ground system goes down for some reason, think Katrina, or the recent events that happened in North Carolina and Florida, then this system replaces what was on the ground. And there's some technical reasons why it works like that, but that is its purpose. And that's why it's such a, you know, such a relied upon service. It's both remote, and it's in the middle of cellular footprints when the cellular system has gone down.
And can I just add that we're Louisiana homegrown. I mean, Jay relocated the company here in 2010. So we've been here for 15 years. I'm a Louisiana native. Our CFO, Rebecca Clary, is a Louisiana native. Tim Calamari, that runs our IT department, he's from Bucktown. Michelle Hebert, who runs human resources, I forget which bayou she came from, but she's local.
One with alligators.
The satellite exactly. The satellite operation control center is going to be run by Allison Keeves and Parker Graff, both Louisiana natives. Our chief system architect is Eric Blanchard, Tulane grad, also a Louisiana native. So we've been able to attract and grow talent right here in Louisiana.
I love that. And going back to what I said about kind of this Star Wars thing, you don't associate that with us here, right? I mean, it's oil and gas, it's other types of communications. But that's the beauty of this. And I was so excited the other day when y'all announced your expansion. Because it's really unique. It's something different. There's not many, I gotta imagine, in your industry, I may be speaking out of school, that are located here in Louisiana.
No, yeah. There aren't. There were some space operations here that were Lockheed and things like that. But no, not like what we do. It's also Louisiana is a fabulous place for us to operate from, because you get great employees that are can-do people. There's never a problem that couldn't be figured out, and so it's really a joy. It's a joy going to work.
So I know that you said your goal is to put up more satellites. It's amazing to me now when we're talking about in space or near space, and I'm not sure what they call that area where y'all are.
Low Earth orbit.
LEO. I mean, if that's looked upon as being in space, to me it is.
It is.
If I can't see it, you're in space.
Right. And if you can't breathe, you're in space.
You're in space, right. Got it. The private sector really taking huge control and development of that space.
Right. Well, they have, and we have.
Yes.
The original Globalstar, before I became involved almost exactly 20 years ago, had invested $3 or $4 billion into it. We've had sustaining CapEx of several billion dollars, and we're now in a CapEx cycle again with our partner from California in the handset business for another $1.7 billion. So it's a very expensive undertaking for certain, and space itself is risky. You have to do it correctly, otherwise, you know, it bites you.
Yeah.
But it is something that's, that is private sector. There's no government money in us anywhere.
And that's unique.
I think it is.
No, we've always focused on the consumer mass market. That's been our customer base, not U.S. government. We want to grow our business with USG or our Department of Defense, but we've always been focused on building very small products that are easy to use, affordable, and work over our satellite system. And if you push a little button, and they'll save your life. And that technology is now at your fingertips, on an iPhone, and available to you when and if nothing else will work. And all of this is operated with 440 employees globally, and 170 of them right here in Louisiana. And we hope that number grows over the next year substantially.
What do you see as the biggest space for expansion? Is it voice communication or moving data?
You know, the irony is that when the business began, it was all about voice.
Right.
Now it has moved to almost all about texting, which is very, very easy to do relative to voice in the hinterlands, without a doubt. So what it will be, you know, going forward is kind of anybody's guess. But you can do everything we just described from space. It's unrealistic to assume that it could mimic a wireless network, which has infinite capacity, because space doesn't have infinite capacity. Everything that you got up there is all you have until you add more to it.
Right.
So it is a different service. But it is, in any situation that requires emergency or remote, it is the next best thing to full-on cellular.
I went to your website last night, and I was looking at the latest generation of the handheld telephones, right, satellite phones. The first generation that I had in the sheriff's office for storms, if you didn't work out in the gym, you couldn't carry this thing.
Very funny.
It was like a brick.
I know.
Now it's in your back pocket.
Yeah, now it's in your back pocket, right?
I know.
What is the limit?
I don't think there is an obvious limit.
Right.
Technology changes and continues to change. If you look at the curve of where we'll be a couple of years from now versus where we started out, even before I was there, you'll see massive changes. We talked about it as voice going to text and going to all kinds of data. But who knows what tomorrow holds? I just know that we'll be able to address it because of the way the system is architected and the flexibility with which we can change things.
We're going to be in this space at least another 30 years, right, Jay?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Interesting. As it relates to NASA and some of their operations and SpaceX and all of that, is there a coordination of low Earth orbit satellites in assisting in some of what they're doing, or no? Or do they have their own?
So, of course, SpaceX has its own system of satellites, and so does the U.S. government. you know, again, we're owned by our shareholders,
right?
Privately held, privately funded, and I would say that right now we have the largest user base of any satellite system up there. You know, it really is an incredible thing. You know, when I came to the company 15 years ago when it moved to Louisiana, we started trying to hold on to our spectrum because there was everyone had a better use for it. You know,
right.
Whether it was unlicensed or what's called IMT, International Mobile Terrestrial, but literally overnight, because of the innovations that we've been able to accomplish, there's been a renewed focus on satellite spectrum, and specifically mobile satellite spectrum. And we're in a very good position globally because we're licensed and again, have been operating on the same frequencies, same system for over 25 years.
Jim, I'm going to give you final thoughts.
We are overjoyed to be in Louisiana. I first came to New Orleans as a student at Tulane and have lived in and around New Orleans and Denver married a New Orleanian, so you know what that means.
Yep.
and have just had a fabulous, fabulous life around New Orleans. And so when the opportunity existed to move it, for us it was absolutely a no-brainer. And we could not be happier.
Well, we're incredibly happy that you're here, and thank you for all that you do, your investment in our community, your belief in our community. And we love to see companies grow. And best of luck in the future. And let's get as many satellites up there as we possibly can.
Here. Exactly.
No argument there, right?
You betcha.
No.
Thank you very much, Newell.
That's Jay Monroe, Executive Chairman of the Board of Directors of Globalstar, and Barbie Ponder, the General Counsel and Vice President of Regulatory Affairs for Globalstar as well. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, folks, welcome back. We are here at the Hyatt Regency for the Greater New Orleans Inc. 2025 annual luncheon, and we've been talking a lot about business development and what's going on, in 2024, what's going to happen in 2025. And joining me now is Greg Rusevich, chair of the Metro Crime Commission, past chairman of the New Orleans Crime Coalition, to talk about LIT, the Louisiana International Terminal. He was in the shipping industry and still is, but long, long time. His family was in that industry for a long time. Always headquartered right here in the city of New Orleans, right?
Absolutely.
Welcome to the show.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Newell. Yeah, we're really excited about the LIT project, you know, the Louisiana International Terminal project. So this project will get done. It's, as you know, it's GNO Inc. We're here today, and this roar is unbelievable, right? Coming up the escalator, you hear the roar. It's like, it's my favorite part of the day.
I can't even hear us right
now. My favorite part of the day every year is hearing the roar.
Yes.
And, yeah. So, anyway, but with that, GNO Inc.'s top priority for this region is getting the Louisiana International Terminal done. It's the new port project in St. Bernard in Violet, Louisiana. It's a $2.5 billion project. It will give us another 5,500 jobs regionally over the next 5 years. It will give us 12,000 new jobs regionally over the next 20 years. It will give us $55 million a year in new tax revenue over the next 20, each year in the next 20 years, and then another $10 million a year for the foreseeable, 5-10 years. This is a major project, and it's time for us to decide whether we're going to be a global port or a regional port. And I think the decision has been made to be a global port.
Well, we can't survive as a
we
regional
cannot.
Port.
We
right?
absolutely cannot.
I mean,
cannot.
Let's just call it for what it is. We cannot survive.
We cannot. And it's been, frankly, from my perspective, you talked about the career, and I've watched this, Newell, from the 1980s. And in the 80s, when I came into the business, we were competing with Houston and Los Angeles and New York. And now I find that we're competing with Gulfport and Biloxi. I mean, it's no insult to Gulfport and Biloxi and Mobile, which has now taken us. I don't want to compete with Mobile.
But they're working hard, right?
They're working hard, and they're getting it done, and they're all together. So we need more cohesion. We've already raised for the project about $1.7 billion. Private commitment is $800 million. The Port of New Orleans is putting its money where its mouth is, $500 million. We got a $300 million grant from the feds, which is the largest grant for a maritime terminal in the in history, $150 million from the state. So there are just a few things we need to finalize. One is the final deal with the partners, the private partners, which we're getting there on. I know the governor is willing to engage and help in this. It's the same thing. We have RPC finalizing a road. There'll be a toll road coming out so we don't disturb the St. Bernard residents. The toll road will come out from the port into, over the marsh and into 510, into I-10. And then finally, we can build great distribution facilities and warehousing. It's not just growing jobs at the new port. It's growing jobs through the region, through warehousing and distribution and trucking and cargo handling. So it's a great new opportunity.
Talk about how impactful that is. I don't think people can wrap their head around that.
Yeah, because these are good jobs. These are jobs that normally in the maritime sector pay $80,000 to $100,000 a year. They're handling cargo, but it's also the white-collar jobs as well in distribution. And, everything is systematized now. So it's handling export declaration, bills of lading. It's a loading truck, so it's blue-collar, it's white-collar, it's high-caliber jobs, and we need that. We can't have, we've always been part of the Mississippi River and sustaining ourselves with the river and in international jobs. We can't just be a tourism town. It's great to have tourism. You heard a lot about energy.
Sure.
And by the way, the energy sector, I know Grady and Michael talk a lot, and CERAWeek, I was there as well. It's fantastic. We're all of the above in energy. That's great. But energy sector needs a major port district. I mean, they need port both for cargo coming in and out and for liquids. And every port needs to stay in its lane. We have some great ports here in Louisiana. I chair the governor's Louisiana Board of International Commerce, which is a state-appointed 23-member board. We have prioritized this Louisiana International Terminal Project as the state's top priority port project. So we're here to give good news to say this project's going to happen, but we now need everybody to mobilize and be cohesive around getting this done.
Absolutely. The spinoff from this, as you grow other industries, as you just pointed out, and a lot of times we don't spend enough time talking about that, but let's get to a break, and when we come back, we'll start the conversation right there. We're visiting with Greg Rusevich, chair of the Metropolitan Crime Commission, past chair of the New Orleans Crime Coalition, and been involved in the shipping industry for a number of years. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're here at the Hyatt Regency Hotel for the 2025 annual luncheon for Greater New Orleans. Inc. All right, folks, sorry about that. We had a little connection problem, but we're here at the 2025 Annual Luncheon, Greater New Orleans, Inc. at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. The mantra of the day, in the zone. And we're talking with Greg Rusevich, chair of the Metro Crime Commission and past chair of the New Orleans Crime Coalition as well. The LIT project, Louisiana International Terminal for the Port of New Orleans project, one of the probably most important projects that exist on a template today, right, for economic development. And we've been talking about this, but Greg, I wanted to start with, you know, kind of the periphery of the industry, the service side, the supply side, everything that services this port. You mentioned it. It's all about time management, right? And moving these goods and services and all of that across that warehousing and everything that goes along with it.
Yeah. So I want to mention two things regarding that new. First is, it's good. First is that, so we've talked about a lot of, you have this morning, a lot of individual projects, right? Mm-hmm. Each one of those individual energy and related projects connects to the new port. So they're all very, very important, vital projects for the region. But this is the project that serves each one of those industries. So without a major port project, you really cannot serve and thrive to serve those industries, number one. Number two, regarding jobs and how they relate. If you think of a cargo, a container coming in to the new port, that container then goes from the new port to a distribution facility or to a warehousing facility. The workers go in, they unload the container. So they're physically unloading it, they're physically barcoding it, they're tagging it, and then they're reloading it onto the rail or onto another container that's going up to the middle of the United States. So we're serving the rest of the United States, and those jobs that we'd be producing will be serving the rest of the United States and both cargo handling as well as all the documentation that's got to be done related to that and management oversight of it. So it's a full supply chain that you're requiring. And then if you think on the outbound side, the petrochemical projects that are being built, they all have byproduct. So those pellets and the other byproduct that come out of those plants, they all have to be physically handled and recontainerized, bagged, palletized, put in a container for onward export abroad. Mm-hmm. So you have a full supply chain occurring, and all that relates to jobs, project management, cargo handling, and a creation of wealth, generational wealth that we can be building here instead of dithering over a major project that is really the salvation in global trade for Louisiana.
And it's not like we're reinventing the wheel. Others are doing this.
Others are doing
it. Others are doing it and trying to eliminate us.
Yeah, and they already have done it, and they are eliminating us. However, bad news for them is because once this project gets done, this will be the first greenfield. Think about this: the first greenfield terminal port project, container project done in the last 30 years in the United States. So they all invested previously. And they've been growing, but here we come, and we're a fourth quarter comeback team. We get this done. We're in the zone.
Right.
And then we go ahead and slam it, and we come up. We've got everything working for us. So all we need, we're right there on the verge. We're right there in the red zone, in the 20-yard line, 10-yard line, and we just need to punch it across, and we can do it.
Not pie in the sky by any stretch
of the image. Well, $1.7 billion is
right.
Already there.
There, exactly.
So it's not pie in the sky. I know others have talked about doing a project, which is that there's no money, the wrong side of the levy. There are different issues connected to that. And that one last point, Newell, I think it's really important for every port to focus on what they're best in. So
right.
We have ports such as Plaquemine that are best in LNG. They're fantastic. Let them flourish. We want them to grow. LNG is with the administration. Everybody believes in a huge thing. Let everybody focus on where they are, but we need this for a container port.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it. I love your energy. I love your excitement about this.
Yeah,
I mean, you've been in the industry for a long, long time.
You
know the dynamics. You know the capabilities.
Yeah.
And you know what success is going to bring to us.
That's right.
Economically.
Thank you.
And we appreciate the insight.
Thank you. Except one thing, I hope you're roasted very severely next week. I won't be here, but I hope they roast the hell out of you.
I'm sure they will. But get ready. I'm coming back.
I'm sure.
All right. We got to get to a break, folks. We'll be right back. Stay with us.